Yeah, and for the last sort of common representation, music interface, which is a piano roll. Now, the interesting thing about blues piano roll is that it starts off 12 tone equitemperament, but you can also load Scala scales, which is a very popular format for microtonal, defining your microtonal scales. In this case, this example uses the Bowman-Pierce scale, which is 13 tones per octave, so you'll see that there's actually 13 tones per, octave here. If you hear how it sounds. And just to hear just a regular 12 tone, or 12 equal temperament tuning. So you can use your piano roll. And they're very common, they're very useful, and they're very, you know, you can get a lot of information quickly to see what's going on in your music, as well as manipulate those things to work quickly using piano rolls. Now, in blue, you can, for Blue Synth Builder instruments, as well as for the effects, most of the widgets are actually, they just come now as being automatable. So in this case, this is just a piano, a little pattern I wrote, and then for the sound object property, I have it repeating. So all this material is going to keep repeating for this time. And what I've automated here is the filter cutoff. The way Blue works is that it renders a CSD every time it goes to play, but then all of your changes won't happen until the next time it goes for a render. Just to show that. This is indeed. This example here, these are the notes generated by the piano roll. So you can see that it would be sort of painful to type these in by hand. But you know, it's I've taken the score generated from this piano roll, and I made two copies of that object. I've taken note processors. In this case, I'm using a time warp processor, which allows for warping the time, attaining a tempo. And I've done it in a sort of two different ways. One, where the object starts off at its original tempo, speeds up to three times the tempo, and then comes back. And another one does the exact opposite, starts off at three times the tempo, comes back to its regular tempo, and gets to the end. Processor to transpose the sound object here. And just to show that you can also automate the effects. In this case, you know, I just sort of, you just press the A button to see what, to add an automation. In this case, you know, this mixer, this freeze value is being automated for this virtual freeze effect. And the spectral freeze is something I downloaded from BlueShare. It's not something I wrote, but it's you know, I was able to just download it and give it a whirl. And the spectral freeze, it's either on or off, and it just freezes that spectrum. It keeps playing that. So. So I have, in that case, there's a spectral freeze as well as a spectral scaling, it should be.
Mm-hmm.
So also, to move on from there, you know, we have covered our sort of like basic objects, representations of music that we're pretty familiar with. to show that Blue is also, you know, able to work with sound files and working with the sound itself. Here are two examples. One of them is a basic phase recorder resynthesis instrument using C-Sound's PVOC opcode. And, you know, this is a very simple instrument here. All it does is it takes in a time pointer and says to where the phase recorder file to resynthesize from, as well as panning. And I put these two widgets in here more for not to be used like here, but to be used on the timeline to be automated. So I have three instances of sort of the same instrument so that I can control them independently, their panning and time pointer. Stretch and pull it, and I'm going to get the same behavior as tape, where playing, you know, stretching it out in time means that it's going to get lower in pitch, and speeding it up is going to get higher in pitch. So, you know, you can work with your abstractions of instruments and notes, but you can also think about, you know, ways of working with sound itself directly in Blue. So from this point, I'd like to discuss sort of the non-common music practice. This is sort of a really interest for me is the area of notation and the ideas of modern music and the problems of notating modern music. So for me, the answer, you know, the way I work is just using Python scripting, and you can do that within Blue using its Python object. And Blue includes a Java Python interpreter so that your projects are completely portable between different Blue installations, and users don't have to install Python, it sort of just comes with the program. In this case, it's sort of an emulation of Morton Feldman's early graphic music style. In this case, I have in here defined a function called perform Feldman graphic score. It takes in a list of lists, but basically, how many notes to play high, how many notes to play in the middle range, and then how many notes to play in the lower range, as well as the duration for the performance and the instrument number. And this is just a bit of script that does that. And this is the score I wrote. It's, in this case, each box on a Feldman score is represented by an index to an array, and I'm just appending, you know, different measures of that. Here I have sort of two performances, two different instruments performing that score. And let's see here how it sounds. Process. It's interesting in Blue that every time you render it, you're going to get a different performance. And in that way, you can really sort of test out your compositional ideas, your compositional algorithms very quickly. You know, and then you can see, you know, sort of judge for yourself, does this work? You know, or maybe not, to figure out what you need to do to change your algorithms. The use of script can also be used for sort of defining us, like in music notation, you have, especially in a lot of modern music, you have sort of this problem of like, you know, I want to express this idea. So then a lot of composers spend time defining a new symbol, or, you know, or a new graphical sort of notation. And in the beginning of their scores, you often see a definition of what that means. And so you may see like a word squiggly symbol, and at the very beginning of the score it says, you know, that means to hit the side of the instrument with your bow or something. In this case here, you know, blue doesn't have this sort of built-in idea of what is a tremolo. So I've, you know, gone in and programmed a little script to say this is a tremolo. And here I'm just using now and then, I'm sort of writing down these ideas. This is a tremolo that I want to use here with these notes. This is another tremolo I want to use with these notes. So if we hear that. C sound sees, you can see that you're pretty tiring to type that in yourself, right? And of course, also looking at this kind of information, you could analyze it and you could try to understand what was the musical ideas being written, but it would take a long time to analyze. But within blue, you still have these ideas sort of in there, sort of the form as the composer saw it, you know, the form as you're working with it. And I think that's great for preserving these musical ideas and for having something both for you to look at, you know, to know how you did your work, as well as to share with other people. Now, you can also use scripting, not just for, you know, sort of note ideas, but also for sort of like sound effect type ideas. In this case, this is sort of like, I read an article, or one of these little blog entries about sort of the famous THX deep note. So I decided I'd try to, you know, make my own version. So just with some Python script and a C sound instrument I coded by hand. See how it sounds. You can create your code and then add an interface. And besides the Python object, Blue also comes with a built-in Java version of a JavaScript interpreter. But it also has an external object. And the external object allows you to write your code here within Blue, as well as give a command line. And when this object goes to generate a score, it's going to write that this code that you've written to disk temporarily. It's going to run this command line on that text, and anything that gets printed out or is written to a temporary file is going to get then rebrought back into Blue, and Blue will scale it to the, you know, can then further process it with no processors and scale it to the sound object length and things like that. In this case, this is a CMask script, and I've put on a little interface here to as for these are the sort of the parameters I'm interested in this case. So if I just run that. So maybe I'd say, oh, you know, that wasn't quite right. I can just sort of change the value and render it again. Right? If I put it into a loop. Again, it's this idea of like quickly trying out your algorithm, quickly trying out the parameters to your algorithm to see, explore those ideas, to really get a feeling and taste for that. Now, this other part here, this is just, you know, I wrote some code because I wanted to come up with this sort of gesture, this idea of the sort of accelerating, decelerating note figure. And I built this interface because each one of these values, these parameters here, are the aspects of the code I wanted to tweak to get the different musical ideas. And the way this happened is I sort of came up with the idea, like, oh, this is what I want to try. I went and coded it. Yeah, first, probably a long time ago, probably just as a straight Python object, and then later converted it to an object builder object with these parameters. And general work process for Glue is that, yeah, you end up spending a little time configuring things, but once you build that object, you know, I've gone and reused this object because it's now the sort of the fundamental basis for this piece. Another object builder example is to show that you have, you know, all of these different types of widgets to use. In this case, I'm now using a line object, and I'm using that as the mask parameters for a pmask script, which is a lot like cmask. And in this case, I can then, you know, graphically draw the boundaries for how much density over time, the duration of the notes over time, the frequency of the notes over time, rather than having to hand type those in as values to an array or anything. The difference that these things make because it's so granular, but yeah, but you can, you know, change these parameters. Okay, so you know, for me, just wanted to, I put this example together a few weeks ago. It's I have, you know, high interest in sort of Ludus Waspy's aleatory, it's kind of composition method with aleatory, and I have this orchestra composition library that comes with Glue, and it's a Python library where I define performer objects, and the performers each have a spatial sort of space location, as well as sort of an amplitude variance, so that, you know, I can emulate sort of last chair performers being maybe a little more off than first chair performers. And so I have these performer objects I've defined, and performer groups, sort of groups of performers, and then you put, you know, you sort of say these performers belong to this group. And the reason for this is that there are compositional things when you're dealing with orchestra that you say, I want violin one to play this. You don't say, I want violin, the first chair violin to play this, and second chair violin to play the same thing, and third person to say the same thing. Sort of work with it as a group mentally. So you can give score to perform to the group, or you can give it to individual performers using this library. In this case, I'm just using mostly individual performers. And there's an perform aleatorically function, and they're just playing these notes. So, just give this a try. Show you this So Xenakis' metastasis, he created these sort of surfaces by taking a number of different Gassandi. And so I wrote a function that you can just sort of define the two starting points, two ending points for the boundary lines, and then the rest of the lines get filled in. And I've then put a little interface on top of that so I can just sort of quickly draw, sort of move the points around and sort of shape the piece pretty quickly. In this case, the performer group only has three performers, so you're only going to get the two boundaries plus a single note in between. This is my local version of BlueShare. So online, there's a BlueShare community website. You don't have to create a user password to actually download from it. You actually only need to use a user password to upload to it. Now, here, this is sort of a snapshot of the live version from a while ago. You can see that this is on the main page. You can see what instruments have been uploaded to the BlueShare, as well as what effects. And also, you can subscribe to the RSS feed to see what's new and what's out. When I use BlueShare within Blue, okay, 1 second. BlueShare pops open, and you can sort of browse to see what are the latest instruments or instruments by category, and then you can say click on it to get some more information, and then import it directly into your program. Same with effects; you can sort of pick an effect you like or you've seen, you can directly import it, as well as you can export, which is to send effects or instruments to the BlueShare, as well as manage the ones that you've uploaded. And then you'll see that from the orchestra that. This is the instrument I just downloaded from BlueShare. Took a while to load up. In this case, this was an instrument that a user contributed to BlueShare. These are the sort of instruments that you'll see on BlueShare. Someone wrapped sort of a famous BCS3 emulation for that someone else did with C-Sound. And sort of analog synthesizers and other things that other people have created. And it's pretty quick and easy to just sort of find something on BlueShare, download it, give it a try. Right now there's You know, some instruments there, and I'm trying to also try to get more people involved, and as well as being more involved myself by contributing more instruments and effects. Okay, I think that's about it.
Thank you very much. It was very impressive, I must say. Are there any questions?
Yeah, I have a question about how Blue interfaces with C Sound. It sounds like it uses, it writes the C score files and then executes C Sound on those.
Yes.
And I'm curious how you track the audio as it's playing back.
It's sort of a hack.
Yeah.
I have a Blue will insert a special instrument that prints out the current time, and because Blue is always reading the output anyways to show it to the user, which. I don't show this output window here. You'll see that Blue is sort of reading all this anyway, so it's parsing that, but then it won't show it to the user, but it'll read it to get the time. There's I'd like to integrate the API, the C Sound API sometime, and it's been tough because it's a sort of a tricky thing. But once I do that, I'll probably use the C Sound objects, get score time, instead of doing this. But for now, this works. Yeah.
Any more questions?
Wait
for the microphone. We have remote listeners.
This works so well. What advantages would you see from using the C Sound API? Like, it seems like it would be an awful lot of work for you to integrate that now into Blue, but it seems to work so well as is.
Yeah, it is a bit of work. Plus, because I always want to support this. Capability of outputting a CSD that is completely representative of everything that you're working on in Blue. So I have to say that you can always generate a CSD file and use that separately. It makes it sort of hard to integrate some of the features of the API I want to take advantage of. But primarily, things that people have asked for is tweaking the knobs in real time. So I sort of have some plans and ideas for that, to be able to tweak the knob in real time, as well as be able to record those values. And the biggest trick for me is to figure out how to do that, as well as with the automation. So that's primarily the reason for the API that I want to integrate it.
More questions? Okay, then thanks again very much.
Thank you.
Then there's now here a break of about half an hour, and after that we continue with the first part of the OpenSUSE YAT tutorials for installation and producing music.
I've never seen before, so I don't know.
you again.